expression before you preach with a view. This was the sort of side-on glance. Is it worth calling this guy back to preach again? And I preached from this passage then. I want to return to it because I think we're 3.5 years on. We're post-COVID. The landscape is very different. We're very different. How are we going to fulfill Psalm 137? By the rivers of Babylon, where we sat down, where we wept, where we remembered Zion. Who's thinking Boney M? 1978, top of the charts. But that's the truth. How on earth, literally, can we sing the Lord's song in a changing landscape? What's going to happen to Bethania over the next few years? Well, I don't know exactly. I pray it's good things and great things, but I am praying that we here, because we're going to still be part of Bethania as members and coming along occasionally, checking on you. No, just coming to worship with you. We'll be coming along and just praying that we will continue to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. What had happened here is in the 6th century BC, a whole people group had been taken from their homeland into captivity in Babylon. It was strange. They worshipped other gods. They had different languages and different customs. How on earth could the people of God still worship Yahweh, the one true God, when they were surrounded with many gods that everyone else said you must worship? It's not unfamiliar in our own context, is it? There are so many pressures to spend our money and attention in the wrong areas. So many things that can divert us from the truth. 100 years ago, in this beautiful nation of Wales, about 80% of the people went to church on a regular basis. Now, how many people go to church in Wales, percentage-wise? It's around there. We're talking probably 4 to 6%. So we are having to sing, learn how to sing the Lord's song in a very different context to 100 years ago. And the parallels that we see now with our Welsh and our Westminster government aren't dissimilar to the experience of the people of God, the people of Judah, taken into exile in Babylon. It's increasingly difficult to live out our faith distinctively in an adverse environment. An environment of adverse legislation, which is sometimes on the books in Westminster. For example, non-violent extremism. This never came to be law, but it was under consideration, which went something like this. Some people wanted it to become illegal to hold an extremist view. Now, who does that include? Anybody who says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, that's an extremist view. Why? Because it is true. It is an ultimate and an extreme view. You see, we live in a time of pressure. We're a minority voice in exile. The church used to be flourishing and growing throughout the United Kingdom. It is beginning to flourish and grow again, but it is still in minority. We need to learn how to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. I'm saying this so often, we'll have to sing it before the end of the service, won't we? Anybody got the Boney M tape with them? No? Ian, just check your pockets there. No? And even our government contemplated some legislation that would limit how we can teach children in Sunday school with out-of-school settings, where anybody teaching children at any time can be inspected at any time by government officials to check they're not being abused in any way. We do live in dangerous times. But how can Bethania in the next season sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Well, the prophecy of Jeremiah says in chapter 29 that Brendan read to us, it says, first of all, to the people who are in exile, he wrote to them, build houses and settle down. But we're in exile. We're only here for 5 minutes and we're going home, aren't we? Build houses and settle down. This is your new environment. Learn how to live within that new environment and sing the Lord's song. There was a prophet called Hananiah,
And he prophesied to the people who had gone into exile,
don't worry, the Lord's told me you'll be back in a fortnight, my summary of what he was saying. It'll all be over soon. Just hold your breath, you'll be back in Judah. Reality was, they were in exile for 70 years. Jeremiah had it right.
Build houses and settle down. Literally, the interpretation of that is engage in a building strategy and program. You're here for the long haul, post-COVID, Leasewood, Bethania, 2022 and onwards, with all that's gone before us and behind us.
Sing the Lord's song by building houses and setting roots down in this new environment. What does that mean? It means build for the kingdom of God and not just the local church.
It's all about, Lord, make my church bigger. It's all about, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things, i.e. growing churches, will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom. When I was director of the Alliance in Wales in 2014, a very exciting event happened. To me, it was very exciting. When I share it, you may think it's terribly dull, but for me, it was very exciting. And in 2014, we managed to speak to all 32 denominational heads in Wales and said to them, guys, are you willing to all endorse publicly to the government, the Welsh government, the Senedd, a presentation of the William Morgan Bible in Welsh, translated in 1588, which is hailed as a masterpiece of translation and actually saved the Welsh language from extinction. Are you willing to place a facsimile of that in the government building there in the bay in Cardiff as a commemoration of the Christian heritage in Wales? The government is saying they'll receive it if every denomination in the whole nation agrees to it. So we spoke to them all. The Catholics, the Plymouth Brethren, Evangelical Movement of Wales, Pentecostals, Methodists, Baptists, everybody, and do you know what? Every single one of them said, for the sake of the kingdom, yes. And all their names are on the plaque in the Pierhead building. You can go and see it if you want to, if you've got nothing better to do. In Cardiff Bay, have a look. The Brethren, Catholics, EMW, Pentecostals, because we are seeking first the kingdom. We are about building continuously. But he also said in verse 5, Jeremiah writing to these people in exile, Hananiah was saying, don't worry, you'll be back in a fortnight. Jeremiah is saying, do worry, well, don't worry, but put your trust in God, you're going to be there for 70 years. And he says to them, plant for sustainable development. That's a good Welsh assembly, Welsh Senedd name, isn't it? Term. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Think long term. Not about instant results. Not about hold a Bible study today and six Christians knock on your door the next day. It's long term. Plant for sustainable development. Invest in our children. Invest in our young people. Brendan spoke of us meeting all those years ago. Brendan joined our church. I'm sure you won't mind me saying this. And many people there were mentors to him and helped him in many ways. And you can see now in this man, who's over 50, all those years later, you can see the beauty and the benefit of that investment. Long term, planting for sustainable development. Invest in mentoring young people. Spend time with that child that's asking those really hard questions. And you don't always know the answers. Find the answers. Pray about the answers. Google the answers. And help that child grow into a relationship with Jesus. It's a long-term ministry. Plant for sustainable development. This means that our children will not receive a bitter legacy. They won't say when they're grown up, why didn't you help us? Why didn't you mentor us? Why didn't you show us what it's like to follow Jesus? Why didn't you? They'll be enjoying the beauty of the investment you placed within them. And then a third thing he says in verse 6, this is to people, some of whom are thinking, we'll be back soon in the homeland. He's saying to them, marry and have sons and daughters. Get connected. Become part of the community here. Marry some of these people you're in exile amongst. increase the scope of your influence through key collaborations. Bethania, next chapter, post-COVID, looking for a new minister, or whoever or whatever the Lord leads you to do. Make sure that you increase the scope of your influence through the right collaborations. Invite the right people to partner with you. Spend time listening to the right people with the right spirit and the right heart. Don't listen to voices that are contrary. Listen to that which is right. I call this strategic alignment. I like that term. Strategic alignment. I said it again, didn't I? Strategic alignment. I like it. It's God's way of operating. When he created the heavens and the earth, Genesis chapter 1, when he made the heaven, the stars, the skies, the earth, and everything, he said, wow, wow, this is good. This is good. And he meant by that, shalom. This is shalom. This is perfect peace and harmony. This is everything in strategic alliance with everything else. Everything working together. No conflict, no tension. No contrary agendas. But everything working in perfect harmony. This is what Jesus prayed in John 17. He said, Lord, may they, that's all of the Christian church, be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you have sent me. Every person playing his or her role. If you've got that operatic singing voice, I haven't heard it yet, but use it. If you've got that gift of prophecy, then use it. If you've got that gift of encouragement, then use it. Strategic alignment, strategic alliances. The managing director of a Welsh drill-making company once asked his workforce, okay, boys, that's how they speak in South Wales, right, boys, what is our aim? And they said, that's easy, managing director, it's to make the best drills. He said, no, you're all wrong. Our aim is to make the best holes. That's right. Yeah. The drill, the tool, the vessel is incidental to the beautiful goal of extending the kingdom of God. It's not about us. It's about our obedience and strategic alignment with the will of God. Can I ask you a question? Each and every member of Bethania and friend of Bethania, can I ask you what the Lord is calling you to do in terms of using your gifts in this new season? An exciting opportunity. Everybody should have an answer. And everybody can be used. And then Jeremiah writes to those in exile. He says in verse 7, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, he says, seek the peace and prosperity of your village, town, or city. Wherever God has called you to be, in exile or whatever, seek the peace and blessing of that environment. Be countercultural, like the parable of the Good Samaritan. Nobody would help the injured person apart from the despised Samaritan who showed compassion when nobody else would. Be countercultural. Be non-compromising, like Jesus himself, who said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Nobody was more exclusive than Jesus, but nobody is more inclusive than Jesus. He loves the whole world and wants all people everywhere to be saved. Inclusive, exclusive message. Believe in me and you will be saved. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus. And compassion-led. Jesus wept on many occasions. Jesus looked at the people. He had compassion on the people. His heart went out to them. He loved them. He knew what his destiny was. He knew he was going to go to the cross and be raised from the dead and be able to save those who were lost. He knew that was coming, but he was crying out in compassion on that journey for those who were lost and without a shepherd. I have loved you, Jeremiah 31 says, with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This was the message to the people of Judah in exile. They weren't going back in a hurry. They would one day, but they weren't going back in a hurry. But in the meantime, they were going to learn how to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. And that's our challenge. In harmony, to a lovely tune, in this new, exciting season. And just to let you know, Jackie and I will be popping back from time to time, just to see how you're getting on. No, just to pray for you and to encourage us all in this new season and this new chapter. I finish with some words written by James Davidson Hunter in his great book, in my opinion, entitled To Change the World. This is what he writes. When the word of life is enacted within the body of Christ, not only does the word become flesh, but an entire lexicon and grammar becomes flesh in a living narrative that unfolds in the body of Christ. A narrative that points to God's redemptive purposes. We are the story that people read. We are that narrative. We are an embodiment of the narrative of God. And as we go into our new chapter, let's be books and pages well worth reading as we seek to point people towards Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. After 70 years, the people went back. It's not going to be that long. But let's face the next chapter with faith and excitement. Amen.